Tataya. What it's, is it the same as Brahma Samhita? Iti tava suryas kli adipati kila lokamala. That's not the right meter. Huh? Help me. That's longer than this. Iti tava surayas kayadi patkila lokamala.
Iti tava surayas kayadi patkila lokamala.
Japana katam lutapim avakaya tapasmi jaho. Kim uta puna swadhama vidatashaya kala gunaha. Parama pajati ye padam ajasra sukhano bhavam.
Param bhajantiye padamaja sukhano.
Let's just do word for word. Because I don't, that's not the right meter either. Iti.
Iti.
Thus. Tava. Your. Surayaha.
Wise
saints.
Three.
Of the three. Planetary systems of the universe, or the three modes of nature. Adipate, O Master, Akila, of all, Loka, the worlds, Mala, the contamination, Kshapana, which eradicates. Kata, of discussions. Amrita, nectar. Abdhim, into the ocean. Avagaya, by diving deeply. Tapasmi, tapamsi, their troubles. Jahu, having given up, have given up. Kim uta, what to speak. Punaha, moreover. Sva, their own. Dhamma, by the power. Viduta, dispelled. Ashaya, of their minds. Pala, end of time. Gunaha, the undesirable qualities. Parama, O Supreme One. Bhajanti, worship. Ye, who? Padam, your true nature. Ajastra, uninterrupted. Sukha, of happiness. Anubhavam, in which there is experience. Translation, therefore, O Master of the three worlds, the wise get rid of all misery by diving deep into the nectarian ocean of topics about you, which washes away all the contamination of the universe. Then what to speak of those who, having by spiritual strength rid their minds of bad habits and free themselves from time, are able to worship your true nature, O Supreme One, finding within it uninterrupted bliss. report by Srila Prabhupada, not by Srila Prabhupada, report by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, in the previous verse, those Shrutis, whose presentation of the Supreme Truth may seem impersonal, clarified their true purpose. Now, in the present verse, those who focus exclusively on the divine personality of Godhead, who speak of his transcendental pastimes, take their turn in praising him. Because all of the Vedas declare the supremacy of the personality of Godhead as the cause of all causes, discriminating persons should take to his worship by diving into the ocean of his glories. Intelligent devotees help dispel the distress of all souls and loosen their own burning attachments to materialistic life. These advancing devotees gradually give up all material attachment and lose any interest they once had in the troublesome austerities of karma, jnana, and yoga. Beyond these devotees are the suris, or connoisseurs of spiritual truth, who honor the nectarian ocean of the Supreme Lord's glories by immersing themselves fully within it. These mature devotees of the Supreme Lord achieve unimaginable perfection, the Lord reciprocating their sincere endeavors, empowers them to realize him in his personal form, remembering with rapture the Lord's intimate pastimes and entourage. They are automatically freed from the last subtle traces of material contamination and from sensitivity to the unavoidable pains of disease and old age. Referring to the purifying power of devotional service, the Shrutis say, Tad yata pushkara palasha apo na shil shayante evam vidi papam karma na shlishyate. Translation: just as water does not adhere to a lotus leaf, so sinful activities do not adhere to one who knows the truth in this way. The Shatapatha Brahmana from the Taittiriya and Taittiriya Brahmana, Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad, and Vadhayana Dharma Shastra all concur. Na karmana lipyate papakena. Quote, one thus avoids becoming tainted by sinful activity. The Rig Veda 1.154.1 refers to the Supreme Lord's pastimes as follows: Vishnor Nukam Viryani Pravocham Ya Partivani Vimame Rajangshi. Only he may fully enunciate the heroic deeds of Lord Vishnu, who can count all the particles of dust in the world. Unquote. Many Shruti mantras glorify devotional service to the Lord, such as Eko Vashi Sarvago Ye Nubhajanti Dhiras Tesham Sukham Shashvatam Netaresham. Translation: he, is the one omnipresent Lord and controller. Only those wise souls who worship Him obtain eternal happiness, not anyone else. In this connection, Srila Shridhar Swami prays, Sakala Veda Gene Gane Rita Sadgunas Tvam Iti Sarva Manishi Jana Rata Tvai Subhadra Guna Shravanadibis Tavapada Smaranena Gata Klama. Translation. Because all the Vedas describe your transcendental qualities, all thoughtful persons are attracted to hearing and chanting about your all auspicious activities. Thus, by remembering your lotus feet, they are freed from all material distress. My goodness, this purport begins by referring to the previous verse, which has 1, 2, 3, 4 page purport. Let's read the previous verse. You read it yesterday? You have class every morning? Yesterday. You have class every morning? Very good. But here's yesterday's verse. Text 15. Translation. This perceivable world is identified with the Supreme because the Supreme Brahman is the ultimate foundation of all existence, remaining unchanged as all created things are generated from it. And at last dissolved into it. Just as clay remains unchanged by the products made from it and again merged with it. Thus, it is toward you alone that the Vedic sages direct all their thoughts, words, and acts. After all, how can the footsteps of men fail to touch the earth on which they live? Well, this chapter 87 of Canto 10 is the longest chapter, and for sure it's the longest chapter in the 10th canto, maybe the longest chapter in the Bhagavatam. And it is fascinatingly complex. There's a good reason for it. It's a discussion by the personified Vedas about the relationship of all things with Krishna. And that's a complex topic. The subject matter, just a little summary. The subject matter that begins the chapter is Maharaj Parikshit asking in his state of astonishment, wow, here I am, completely fixed in transcendence, with not a care in the world about the snake bird that's going to come and bite me and death, and how did it happen? Because all that's taken place is something material, your tongue, and something material, my ear, have been working out. So how can something material create something spiritual? That's the essence of his question. And Shukadeva Goswami says, great question. It's such a great question. Long ago it was discussed by many, many sages. And when they were discussing, they said, this is such a wonderful question. Long ago it was discussed. No, it was a classic question. And amongst the Kumaras and the personified Vedas, highly detailed and perfectly knowledgeable beings were discussing this very topic. So I'll share with you what they talked about. And the essence of the answer, which is this chapter, long chapter, is that because everything comes from Krishna, when that something that comes from Krishna is used in the service of Krishna, its spiritual quality is restored. So the tongue takes on a spiritual quality, the ear takes on a spiritual quality when connecting it again with Krishna through the process of hearing and chanting about him, which is what you unpack what text 16 is saying, text 15, that's what it's saying. Everything comes from Supreme Brahman. So it has its connection with the Supreme Brahman, and when again brought in contact with Supreme Brahman, it becomes spiritualized, Brahmanized. But when apparently, at least, disconnected, because there isn't a, just the example of the clay and the say clay pots that are created from the clay, it's still clay. It may appear, oh, it's not part of the earth anymore. It's over there. It's a clay pot, but it's still part of the earth. And when time destroys the form of the clay pot, it goes back to the elements and becomes clay in the earth again. So it may take some identity over here as a clay pot, but it's connected to the earth, the clay of the earth. And similarly, everything that comes from the Supreme Brahman has that quality, and when connected with the Supreme Brahman through bhakti, through yoga, linking with the Supreme, then its spiritual quality is restored. That's the message. So we're hearing in the purport of this verse, text 16, that Jiva Goswami is saying that the Shrutis, or the personified Vedas, are now one by one going to qualify themselves by saying, well, that previous Shruti that spoke, it sounded a little impersonal, but we're not impersonal. We understand the Supreme Brahman is the Supreme Person. And that happiness is the greatest of happiness. Can something be done with the shade that the sun is right in my eyes? And it's distracting. If they can all be tilted. Yeah. Oh, very good. Okay. So, a few references, just for appreciation's sake. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there's a very nice section in which, pay attention over here. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there's a discussion that Gopakumar is hearing when a philosophical topic is discussed, and some of the Upanishads say this, and some of the Upanishads say that, and some of the Upanishads say something else. They're, you know, personified Upanishads. And then there's some very elevated, exclusive Upanishads that say, no. It's not like that. Please. Those three that speak, I can't recall the detail. I remember the essence. they're speaking something that it's not explicitly impersonal, but appears to be impersonal. And the Gopal Tapani Upanishad and others say, no, why are you arguing? We don't even want to participate in this discussion. The absolute truth is a person. Rather than speaking something indirectly, speak it directly. The absolute truth is a person. We don't even want to take part in your discussion over there. So the Shrutis, or the personified Vedas, are so much valued amongst all of the Vedic literature, but the tendency in reading them is to draw an impersonal conclusion. You're familiar with the Karmakanda, Gyanakanda, and Upasanakanda portion of the Vedas. Anyone not familiar with that? The Vedas have these three divisions. That which deals with ritualistic ceremonies, and the vast percentage of the Vedas, including the favorite four Vedas, Rig Sama, Yajur, and Atharva Veda, largely 80-90% deal with Karmakanda rituals, some sacrifices, the purpose of which is to gain some material advantage in this life and or in the next life. Karmakanda. Worldly enjoyment on this plane and in a higher plane. Then there's a smaller section which deals with moksha, getting freed from that worldly attraction and seeking liberation. It's still... Maybe I'll just... This is good. I'll just move my seat. Instead of move the shade. So, please pay attention over here. You can do that, but just pay attention to the class. Go ahead, put it up. The message of Srimad Bhagavatam is beyond that, beyond seeking liberation, moksha. Because that liberation or moksha is sayuja, or merging with Brahman. And the devotees don't like merging with Brahman. Because when you merge with Brahman, there's no individuality. Without individuality, there's no service. And who wants no service? The devotees want service. They dislike it. They want service. And in that service realm, there's four other types of liberation. So besides sayuja, there's salokya, attaining the planet of the Supreme Lord, sarupya, attaining a form like the Lord, attaining opulences like the Lord, attaining intimate association with the Lord in Vaikuntha. So those are four Vaishnava types of liberation. And the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and the followers of Lord Chaitanya who follow his teachings are not so interested in even those four. They're interested in the intimate, loving condition of service to the personality of Godhead. That's what they're interested in. Just service, not liberation, striving for one of those four types of liberation. If Krishna wants to offer that, that's up to him. If Krishna wants one to stay in this world and serve him, that's just fine too. If Krishna wants one to go to some hellish place and serve him, that's fine too. Svarga, Apavarga, Narakeshu, Apituyarta Darshanam. Famous verse from the sixth canto Bhagavatam where Lord Shiva is honoring the quality of King Chitraketu, or the quality of one who is
fully transcended any worldly or otherworldly attainment. He simply wants some service. So please appreciate the desire, the aspiration for service to Krishna is the most exalted thing. Most exalted, most elevated. So, in the purport, several things are happening. This is so. The purport is taking from our Acharya's commentary and then rendering in English for, you know, simple audience what our Acharyas are deriving from this message, from this verse. And there's three stages that are clearly identified. One, where someone takes up devotional service. This is kind of like a beginning stage, striving initially for mitigation of the miseries of due to material contact. And the problem is not exactly the material contact. The problem is the affinity for trying to be the enjoyer of the objects that we're in contact with. And the topics of the personality of Godhead, which means then the personality of Godhead, because the topics of him are none different than him, one becomes lifted above. The pain, the misery of material contact. Yehi sam sparsha jab bhoga dukha yonaya evate. The anticipation of material contact from materialist is sukha. Bhoga, I'll enjoy. And they get something else. Dukkha. And they keep doing it. I just have to do it differently. Make some adjustments. Do it a little more like this instead of like that. And endless adjustments that always end up in the same thing, dukkha. Varieties of distress through varieties of attempts to achieve happiness. So, on the topic of liberation, the devotees are not, rather than just seeking liberation, they're seeking contact with Krishna. Because of that seeking contact with Krishna, the miseries are mitigated. That's the beginning part. Like the Shikshastakam first verse, Cheta Dharpa Namarjanam Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam. Those two verses. Yeah, but just those two parts of the verse. And yeah, there's a happiness. Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitananam. The contact with the happiness of devotional service. The happiness of devotional service diminishes. Doesn't diminish. Well, you know, it got cold here in Arizona. But, you know, anyway, so in people that are used to it being hot, it's cold in Arizona. Anyway, so the happiness and distress that accompanies the fluctuations or the dualities of material configurations, all of that fades for one who is experiencing the happiness of contact with Krishna. It's not that it stops getting cold and hot. It's just, or whatever are the other things, honor, dishonor, pleasure, pain. Specifically indicated here are old age and disease. In the purport it's mentioned. So disease comes and old age comes, but the misery that's associated with it fades. Why? Because one's consciousness is connected with Krishna. Then there's another stage that's mentioned. And as I was reading this, well, he'll read the second paragraph again. Because all the Vedas declare the supremacy of the personality of Godhead as the cause of all causes, discriminating person should take to his worship. That's the beginning part. Then, by diving into the ocean of his glories, intelligent devotees help dispel the distress of all souls and loosen their burning attachment to materialistic life. Bhava maha davagni nirvapanam. These advancing devotees gradually give up all material attachment and lose any interest they once had in the troublesome austerities of karma, jnana, and yoga. So that's the second stage. Eventually they come to the second stage. In Bhaktivinoda Thakur's purport to the Bhagavad Gita verse 1426. 1426 is the verse at the end of the 14th chapter where Krishna is describing how, when Arjuna asked the question, how does one go beyond the modes of nature? Because 14 is modes of nature. And then Krishna says, everyone is in this world is involved in one or more combination of these modes of nature. But there are some who are fixed in transcendence. So Arjuna says, what does it look like? And most importantly, how does one achieve it? So this verse is how you achieve it. Mam jayo vyavichareena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhoyaya kalpate. And so this is describing the Brahma-Bhuta stage, because that's also discussed elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita. Brahma-Bhuta prasanatma na sochati na kansati. So Brahma-Bhuta means attaining the spiritual position, fixed in transcendence. Because that's the topic that's being... These are the Upanishads, the Shrutis, discussing transcendence. Now this is the personalist Shruti that's speaking about beyond moksha, the happiness that's beyond moksha, the happiness of intimate association with the personality of Godhead through loving service and hearing his glories and chanting and describing him. Beyond moksha. And the attraction, similarly, that just gives pain for the austerities of karma, jnana, and the yoga system that don't give that happiness, that gives detachment to a degree from worldly affinity, but it doesn't give that transcendental happiness. So in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's discussion, his purport of that verse, the Brahma-Bhuta verse 1426, he explains there's two stages, which is in this purport also. One is called Svarup Gata, and the second is Vastu Gata. And he says like this: those who are in the stage of Svarup Gata, they have a full understanding of the personality of Godhead, but they still have some affinity, some lingering, like the residual spinning of the blades of the fan kind of thing. Still have some residual affinity for worldly enjoyment. One example of that, here's two examples of that. One example of that is Lord Brahma at the end of the Govindam prayers, where he's in ecstasy, he's describing the personality of Godhead, Govinda, and his unique position. And just before that, it's described he realized not only his identity as an eternal servant of Krishna, but that he had an idea, not without all the detail, but an idea that he was the maidservant. He understood his rasa. And all of this, Govinda prayers, and at the end, Govinda speaks to him saying, I know that you still have some material affinity, and you're worried about it. It may interfere when you start creating the universe, that it'll interfere with this ecstatic devotion. So I'm going to explain to you how to manage that situation. That's an example of this Brahma-Bhuta attainment where there's still some material affinity. A second example, because when I was just in Alachua, they're discussing chapter 29 of the 10th canto, which is the beginning of rasa dance. Whoa, elevated discussion over there. And in the first verse in chapter 29 is where Krishna, this comes just after rescuing Nanda Maharaj from Varunas, from the ocean. So it's now Vasant season, and smelling the jasmine flowers and seeing the beautiful scene, Krishna becomes inspired to enjoy amorous pastimes. He considers like that, so he calls upon his yogamaya potency. So all of what follows is, this is Krishna with his own yogamaya potency. And he calls for the gopis to come to him by playing upon his flute. And there's this discussion that they came running as if forcibly carried by that flute song of Krishna. And some of the gopis were unable to come. The Muni Chari Gopi. So this is the still having some material affinity, although being transcendentally lovingly attracted to Krishna. There's also a really long purport, like 6 pages, where I'll just say it slowly, but it's like the essence of this long purport, where those were gopis who in their previous lives, they were in the Dandakaranya forest and they saw Lord Ram and they were at this ecstatic stage of devotion and they became attracted in a spiritual way and Ram took for conjugal relation with the personality God, if Ram said next lifetime. So they took their birth as gopis in Braja when Krishna was performing his pastimes. But they still had some material affinity. And so when Krishna played upon his flute, they were restrained by their families and their husbands and so forth. And so it was described as two things. They felt intense separation. Krishna's calling, and I can't go. It wasn't just like, I didn't get my way. It was transcendental feeling of love for Krishna being checked by circumstance. And the infinite pain that they were experiencing, the Acharyas comment or explain, that it burned all of their negative karma, their bad karma. And when that bad karma was burned by that feeling of separation, they, in their heart of hearts, could feel Krishna's presence and the embrace of Krishna, and they felt then at the same time intense happiness. The intensity and the degree of that happiness so great that the fruits of all their past good karma was burned. And then in their spiritual bodies, they gave up their material bodies, and in their spiritual bodies they went to Krishna. And then there's this whole long description. It's not like they died or something, but meant that, you know, their bodies became spiritualized. That's what it, in short, what it says. So that's the next stage. There's this intermediate stage where there's great love for Krishna, great understanding of Krishna's position, and still some residual affinity, kind of odd or contradictory. And then comes this yet higher stage, which is in the third paragraph of this purport, which then says, beyond these devotees are the suris, or connoisseurs of spiritual truth, who honor the nectarian ocean of the Supreme Lord's glories by immersing themselves fully within it. That's what the verse is describing. These more exalted shrutis are speaking about this higher, yet the real stage that we should be aspiring for and is accessible to us for some price. The price is the eagerness to have it. And the qualification then step by step to get there. These mature devotees of the Supreme Lord achieve unimaginable perfection. The Lord, reciprocating their sincere endeavors, empowers them to realize Him in His personal form, remembering with rapture the Lord's intimate pastimes and entourage. They are automatically freed from the last subtle traces of mental contamination and from sensitivity to the unavoidable pains of disease and old age. So they're taking the subject that started the chapter. How is it that the tongue and the ear can get one to a spiritual place? They're taking it to the maximum position. So, hint, the purpose of devotional service is not just a be pious or be reduce the bad karma so you don't suffer so much, so you can become a better enjoyer of the circumstances awarded to you, or after this life go to the nice heavenly planets and enjoy for millions and so long, long periods of time and enjoy like that in a heavenly position, or attain liberation. The purpose of devotional service is not any of those things. This is the purpose of devotional service, to come to that stage in this very lifetime. Or, as the Munichari gopis take part in Krishna's pastimes and then be fully purified by the feelings of separation because of that residual affinity, so that there's no longer any affinity for matter. But our misery comes from that, from trying to be the enjoyers of matter. It's what brings us to the material world to begin with, and it must be given up in order to get relief from material existence. But it's not just relief of material existence, it's restoring the ultimate happiness of the soul. Where there's no material affinity, one can be in any situation whatsoever and find happiness in devotional service to Krishna. Not simply arranging circumstances so it looks like happiness, and then a little movement of the kaleidoscope and it's not happiness anymore, it's something else. The whole thing changes just from a little something. We all know what that is. Experience. A little something and all of a sudden it's, yikes. Happiness went away. It looks different now. Because that's not what happiness is. Happiness is not getting the configuration of material elements right. That's not what happiness is. Happiness is undivided devotion to the personality of God, where the happiness of the beloved is my happiness. That's all. To be unrestrictedly attracted to the all-attractive and to serve in that loving mood. That's all. In Sri Brahma Samhita, in the fifth verse, it describes some of the things that are found in the in Sweta Dweep, the area just surrounding the abode of Radha and Krishna, and similarly then also within the abode of Radha and Krishna, where, in other words, Mathura and Dwaraka, that are part of Krishna's places of pastimes as his Vraja. But the personified Vedas, the four Vedas, are found there. And Jiva Goswami explains, one might wonder, what are the four Vedas doing there? Because the four Vedas are for people here to get there. So, and largely the Vedas, at least what people know largely about the Vedas, is it's for material elevation or liberation. But the four Vedas there, they only have one thing. They're just glorifying Krishna. That's all. They're just glorifying Krishna. They don't have any other thing to say or do. And we're getting that in this verse, and very nice purport, or the explanation of our acharyas. And then the last thing is, there are several references following that one paragraph I just read, one, two, three more paragraphs, that are making references to other places in the Taittiriya Brahmana and Brihadaranyaka Upanishad and other places from the Shrutis that are describing the glories of devotional service. The position of the personality of Godhead, Vishnu, and the glories of Vishnu and the benefit that one derives from that. So, in other words, if not just Srimad Bhagavatam over there saying something, the Vedas themselves, these four Vedas themselves are saying the same thing. The superlative position of glorification of the personality of God. Because the verse is speaking of diving deeply into those topics. And what is the result? A happiness that's inconceivable. Uninterrupted bliss. Words of the verse. And then finally, Sridhar Swami's prayer. I'll read it again. Because all the Vedas describe your transcendental qualities, all thoughtful persons are attracted to hearing and chanting about your all auspicious qualities. Thus, by remembering your lotus feet, they are freed from material distress. So being freed from material distress, that's the first stage of the three stages. But it's already there. All three stages are there. And free from material distress is also there within the third stage. But there's not any interest in, I want to become free from... I want liberation for one who's at that third stage. It's already included. Similarly, again, this text 5 of Brahma Samhita, Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, are in Goloka. And one, Jiva Goswami says, one might wonder, what's this? But the perfection of Dharma, the perfection of Dharma is loving service to Krishna. And that's all that goes on in Goloka. Nanda Maharaj is perfectly performing his Vaishya Dharma. Simply doing all of his activities of protecting cows in full love of Krishna. And similarly, the artha, the wealth of Nanda Maharaj, is fully being used in service to Krishna, nothing else. Kama, the perfection of apparently worldly attraction, which is a perverted reflection of kama, is perfectly found in the loving sentiments of the gopis. What to speak of moksha? The topmost apavarga in the language of Bhagavatam, ultimate liberation. No attraction, no affinity for anything but service to Krishna. That's the spiritual world. And Srimad Bhagavatam wants to take us there. And these messages have the potency to take us there. They have the potency for even those who are sinful to become attracted to other than sinful, from the lowest end, Janata Agha Viplava, in the language of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vyasadev is being instructed by Narada to write such a literature that frees the Janata Agha, the sinful people of the world. Just create a revolution in their life and take them out of that condition. And up to the topmost Paramahamsas. Just the messages of Srimad Bhagavatam are so versatile and all beneficial. Hare Krishna. Any discussion? What's that? What's the comparison between Vedas and Shrutis? That's your question. The Shrutis, well, to answer that question depends on who you're speaking to. From Jiva Goswami's Tattva Sandarbha perspective, the Shrutis and the Smritis are the Vedas. From a professor at some university, only the Shrutis are the Vedas, and even only some of the Shrutis, because they have this point of view that some of what's now called Shrutis were modern compositions. And they have the reasoning behind that. But so, from Jiva Goswami's point of view, Tattva Sandarbha, the Vedas are the four Vedas and all the Smritis. Mahabharata, for example, the Puranas, for example, Smritis, they're also Vedas. And he gives his reasons in Tattva Sandarbha, which, by the way, has just been published. The BBT, the Govardhan division, published it. Gopi Pranadana's work, they finally got it out. So that's what it says there. In the first section, the Pramana Kanda section. So, again, just like common, if a Hare Krishna devotee says in front of a Mayavadi things that equate Bhagavatam and the Puranas and Bhagavad Gita with the Vedas, they'll go, boo, that's wrong. Because they have a view, it's only the Shrutis and some portion of the Shrutis. So therefore, commonly devotees who are a little aware of that will say, Vedic literature, or literature pursuant of the Vedic version. Because the scholars think the Shrutis only are the Vedas. The other stuff is we're not interested in. Okay. So you have to be aware, when you're dealing with the public, and especially scholarly type of public, be aware that they have that perspective. But, you know, we have our perspective, they have their perspective. Our perspective is what Jiva Goswami writes in Tattva Sandarbha, which is supported by the Shrutis. When Vyas compiled the Vedas, the remainder of the verses after compiling the Vedas, from the same set of verses, because it was one, from those same verses he compiled the Shrutis, I mean Smritis. So, yes, yes, exactly, exactly, exactly. Thakur Sundra, anything? Four. Some of the Vedas support that, and some of the Vedas don't explicitly support that. They only say four. Some of the Vedas support it. And so when our Vaishnava, Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas address these things, they refer to those portions of the Shrutis that support it. It doesn't mean the other ones are wrong, and that's what's going on here. This text 16 is referring to the speaker of text 15. Well, wait a minute now. There's something beyond Sayuja Mukti, becoming one with the Supreme Brahman. Prabhupada ki jai.